All right, our memory verse, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Just want to mention to you that we're not going to go into any depth on it, but we want to draw your attention to that phrase witnesses. If you haven't studied that or looked at that, for some of you, your tradition or your denominational background, it might give you a little bit different view of when you look into the Greek and what the word actually means. So let's work together as a church family. It's been powerful for us to walk in a certain passage together. And now we're asking to take that next step. We had some dialogue this week about memorization and memory verses. And it was like, yeah, it was just a great challenge. So let's work on Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 together. Now, a lot of you, when you look at the book of Acts, it's normal that you're going to see the phrase, the Acts of the Apostles. So even in some of your translations, you'll see with the book of Acts, it says the Acts of the Apostles. But I want to ask for your consideration this morning as we do our continued study, because we've been talking about walking in the way with Jesus, walking in the way of Jesus. And now we were working toward Easter and the resurrection, and now we're considering from the tomb to the world. So let me just ask you, and you can write this in your Bible, or you can write yourself a little note. Instead of referring to Acts as the Acts of the Apostles, in keeping with what we've been trying to grasp, why don't we say the Acts of the Apprentice? The Acts of those that are in the apprenticeship program. The Acts of the Apprentice. We're looking at portions of Acts as we can continue. And think about this. The book of Acts is a continuation. It didn't stop. The amazing part about the narrative in Acts is it's saying that Yeshua came and lived and died and rose again. And to confirm that he was a Messiah, that he was the Son of God, this incredible narrative continues what Jesus taught and modeled. But as we get started, I got some questions I want to ask you this morning. We want to ask you some questions. For those of you, maybe you're guests, so you may not be equipped to answer this, but for those of you that have been hanging out with us for a while, are you beginning to see the difference between saying you believe compared to believing and following? Are you beginning to see, as we're opening up the scripture, we're looking that this whole idea of being a disciple, being a follower, being in Jesus' apprenticeship program. It's easy for people to say, oh yeah, I believe. What do you believe? A list of theological, whatever you want to phrase them as? Intellectual assent, whatever. But there's a difference between saying, oh yes, I believe. Oh, I asked Jesus to jump into my heart. Versus believing and following. Are you beginning to feel the difference? See the difference? Please listen to this. Yeshua called people to follow him. As we've been looking at the lives of all these disciples, and if you've checked out The Chosen at all, think about this. Belief was a constant challenge based on perspective and expectation. None of us have perfect faith. And as we've been looking at the book of John, and as now we're looking at the book of Acts, you're going to see that belief, faith, is a constant challenge for all of us. We don't see perfect faith exhibited other than in Jesus Christ alone because of his relationship and his desire with the Father. Belief was a constant challenge based on perspective and expectation, whatever our background is. Our Lord Jesus was asking people, he's asking us still today, to apprentice under his tutelage. Do you sense that? Do you feel that? That's the reality of what the scripture says. Jesus still beckons us to come and follow him and experience his tutelage. Take it like this. This is what Jesus constantly said. He modeled this. Hey, come and watch my lifestyle. Come and follow me. That's why it was so important for them to be around each other. Today, we've created a church model where you only are supposed to be around somebody for an hour and a half a week so that you can fake it. Hey, how you doing? I'm doing great. Liar. I'm doing wonderful. Okay, let me ask you another question. This is important because those of you that are Bible scholars, I need your help on this one because if you know where this is, you need to help us understand. Do you remember reading a narrative where Jesus said to anyone, come and follow me, stay exactly as you are because you need no change? Anybody read that one? If you found it, share it with us after service. Okay? Let me ask you this. Have you ever read a scripture in the New Testament? Now we're digging in. Now we're talking about the red letter edition. So those of you that have the red letter, I love the red letter New Testament. It helps my mind. I'm like, oh, Jesus said that. Okay? Let me ask you this. Have you ever read in the New Testament in the red letters that records Jesus saying, follow me and I will help you stay comfortable in your habits, your struggles, or your sin? Anybody ever read that one? As we begin to read the book of Acts, let's just think of Acts as a continuation, the Acts of the apprentice. Acts reveals to us the path from the tomb to the world. Chris is going to be reading Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Is it somewhere in there?
Let's read Acts chapter 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up or ascended into heaven. After he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible or unmistakable proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Yeah, that's good.
Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
Let's just consider the phrase, Jesus began to do and teach. We just want to point this out because this reinforces what we're talking about, the do and teach. This is lifestyle. His actions matched his attitudes and his verbal proclamations. Jesus' actions matched his attitudes and his verbal proclamations. Jesus did not say one thing and do another. What are most church families known for? Saying one thing and doing another. That's not the way of our Lord. Let's focus on the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we so appreciate what Gary Morehouse shared with Chris and I. And we're all going to be learning more about the Godhead or the God family as we move forward, especially involving the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's consider our favorite concept. We talked about it last week a little bit. Let's talk about the concept of waiting. Favorite principle for most of us. These disciples, and I want you to just think about how they were asked to wait. They didn't know, they weren't told the period of time. Jesus didn't say, hey, I want you to wait until, and here's how exactly it's going to look. Isn't it funny how we want to wait, but we want all the answers to help us wait? No, God's more concerned about developing our character and our trust and our faith and our belief. So these guys, as they were waiting, these ladies, they weren't just taking naps. They weren't being lazy. And it wasn't about doing nothing, but rather, listen to this. This is what biblical waiting means. That they were holding themselves from going into all these places in their own strength, power, and glory. So what was, we're not going to go into all the reasons why our Lord asked him to wait. There's a whole list of reasons. And here's the thing, for most of us, waiting is not about being lazy. It's about being invested and involved, but waiting for the assignment that God has for us so that when we respond, we're not trying to take the glory for it, or we're not trying to do it in our own strength and our own power. We're not trying to build our own kingdom. And that's the problem that we have. And let me just tell you this. In all of our lives, as we press into following the ways of Jesus and getting to know him more and growing in our faith, we're all going to go through periods of waiting. And it is so amazing to wait. It's full of frustration. It's full of not getting the answers that you want. It's full of sometimes feeling lost and alone. It's all of those beautiful experiences that enrich our ability to trust him, lean into him, and allow him to be the God and provide for us the way that he wants to. Waiting. Waiting. Now, let me ask you, I'm going to just mention this, and we're not going to go into it, but the phrase, the promise of the Father, I want you to write that down and study that along with what it means to be my witnesses. And we're probably going to post some study helps on this, but this is a super powerful phrase, the promise of the Father. Now, real quick, I want us to consider the difference, as it talks about in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but then as we begin to study and look at more than just that verse, the difference between power and presence. Power can be a very self-serving pursuit. When we read the word of God, it's like, endued with power. That's awesome. I want some of that power. And what do we see across different churches and different denominations in America? This thirst for power, this thirst for control. Power can just be this incredibly addictive, self-serving pursuit. But I want to show you the difference. I want you to think about this. Presence gives a totally different sense. Presence is all about a shared relationship. The presence of the Holy Spirit. And part of what we are trying to encourage us to do in our ministry efforts is to understand the power of presence. We get so caught up on product and productivity and all these other different things that we miss the power of the presence of God, and we overlook the power of the presence with one another. Mitch, I'm going to call you out publicly this morning. Thanks for volunteering. I appreciate that. Okay? Our minds go back to a couple years ago. Just got sideswiped. Sitting across from each other at UVA. She's upstairs. You don't remember much of what I said, probably. But what you remember is that I was there across the table from you. I was there in the room with you. what they were going through? It wasn't some candy stick, perfect theological answer that where I could hand off and they go, that's it, that's the game changer. That changed my life. No, it's about just being present. And some of you don't understand, we diminish the power of shared relationship when we're just there for one another. And it's not so much about what we may say, it's about being right next to one another and being present. The power of presence. Chris is going to read verse 9 through 14.
Continuing on in verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord, purpose or mind, in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers.
I would like for you to notice and take note of verse 11. I love in the scripture when a nugget gets dropped. Look at verse 11. It has to do with future events. I just love when you study the scripture and you're reading through a narrative and it's like, chink. Man, that's a good one. Check that one out. I understand that in our culture, there is a conversation regarding the difference between individualism and collectivism. I believe in a balanced approach. I was raised in Texas, so I have a tendency toward the individualism side, but I believe more of a balanced approach because of what I see in Scripture. And it forces me to let go of what was handed off to me and embrace what Jesus is teaching me. Studying the Acts of the Apprentice for years has helped me embrace God's plan of church. Now, I want you to think about this. In the early church, people lived in community together. And I want to say this. If you are a believe and follow person, there's going to come a time in your pursuit of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit when you will realize that life is not just about you and what you want. Now, I know that what I just said is not what is proclaimed in a lot of church families today. But I am proclaiming the truth of the Word of God and what we are experiencing together. If you are serious about you following Jesus and walking in and learning his ways, there is going to come a time where you're going to have one of those aha moments and you're going to be confronted with your selfishness, maybe your narcissistic perspective, and you're going to realize that this world is bigger than just you and everything is not about what you want. And for some of you, you're going to have this epiphany. You're going to have this freedom. You're going to have this, and you're going to be like, oh my word, there's something bigger than me. And the Holy Spirit's going to be like, Because we are pressing into, as Jesus said, pray like I pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Where? Right here, today. The way that would be done up there. Mind blown. Think about it. There is a shared experience of the Spirit of God that creates an enlarged ability to share on a sacrificial level. A shared experience because of the Spirit of God. You go and read through the book of Acts, you're going to see these people did some crazy stuff. They took holdings, they took property, they put it on the market, they sold it, and they brought the cash, and they said, we want to distribute this to brothers and sisters in need, and whatever needs to be done for the kingdom. Nuts! If your life is all about this kingdom building here. But you don't see any of these people struggling with it. Well, there were two, but I won't mention them right now. You can go back and figure out who I'm talking about. That they gladly, with joy, because the Spirit of God had enlarged their hearts toward this shared experience in Jesus through the Spirit to honor and glorify the Father, they were happy to do what they were doing. All right. I want you to think about this presence, this relationship. I want you to think about what we talked about earlier where Gary Morehouse said, get all you can from God. God will only reveal himself through us to the extent that we allow him to fill every corner of our hearts and lives. God will only reveal himself through us to the extent that we allow him to fill every corner of our hearts and lives. The magnificent and heart-stopping truth is that you can have as much of God as you could possibly want. So what do we do as Western American church people? We sell ourselves short. We sell our relationship with God. We sell the presence of God and his Spirit short because we're comfortable with mediocrity. We're comfortable with just, oh, I ask Jesus to jump into my heart and that's enough. I think I'm going to heaven or whatever it may be that you're holding on to. And yet we can experience God. Peter's been telling us as we went through First and Second Peter that we can have as much of God as we want. So what does that say about our want to? What does that say about the value of his presence? And you want to know why we're going to continually be challenged to be the church that we're supposed to be? Because it's hard to understand the value of being present in somebody's life when we don't understand the value of his presence in our lives. Prayer is the pathway. Prayer is the pathway to the presence of God. Men, hear my heart. Listen to me, men. This is a manly thing. We need more men in this church family to step up and pray. Pray privately, pray individually, pray collectively, come together, beg God on behalf of miracles that we need to see take place, intervention, freedom, addictions that need to be broken, all these things. We're not going to accomplish these by some human program that we think is a great new program that's going to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. Men, we have to learn how to pray. We have to come together and pray because prayer is the pathway to the presence of God. Ah, I'm going to shut up. Go ahead, Chris, read.
All right, continue into verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Although the number of names was about 120. And he said, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails or intestines gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem. So that field is called in their own language, Akel Dama, that is the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office or position of overseer. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection.
Mm.
And they proposed two. Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and they said, "You, O Lord, who knows the heart of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go into his own place." And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
Jesus called people to follow him. There was room for anyone, regardless of their past sin or failures. It was a call to change, hope, and freedom, unlike what any human system had to offer then or has to offer now. And what we're trying to be as a church family, and we say it regularly, everybody's got a seat at the table. Everybody's got a seat at the table. Come as you are. We just don't want you to stay the same all your life. We want you to experience the power and the presence of God. There is good speculation on why they added to the number to keep it at 12. And if you've done any study, you know that it's the beautiful symbolism and connectivity there. But it also highlights, and this is what we want to focus on this morning, it highlights the shared mission of being a witness together of the resurrection power. The mission necessitates that we enlarge the number of people that will stand in the gap to proclaim the good news of our Lord through the presence of the Holy Spirit. The mission necessitates that we enlarge the workforce. We are not asking you to go to Bible college. We are not asking you to pursue seminary. We are asking you to press in and read the scripture and learn to pray and be a follower of Jesus Christ. There is so much need in this world. And if you think, we do not believe that there's just a few of us that can carry that. There's not just a couple of us that can do this. We all need to be invested and we need to be involved because this mission is so huge and this mission is so important. We need everybody to witness what you have experienced. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. But I'm going to pick on you. Just think and bring somebody with you. No matter how old they are. Come here, Rich. Come here. Come here. Come here. It's not super hard. Hey, man, it's like, this is what I've experienced. You guys, come. Let's walk life together. And if you look, if Bud reaches over and he's not going to look my way, that's good. He knows.
You can't hide your face.
That's it. That's it. But you lock arm. You bring somebody with you.
I go horseback riding.
Oh, yeah. There we go. All right. Thank you, guys. It's about this growing together. The mission necessitates that there's more people doing the work. Oh, my goodness. Becoming a disciple, a follower, apprentice of Jesus of Nazareth has and still involves three simple yet profound concepts. I'm going to leave these with you, and then we're going to be done. You see this all throughout the New Testament, and nothing has changed. And what blows my mind is that the Church of Jesus Christ in America has watered down the reality of the life-changing, life-altering hope that we can have in Jesus Christ through the power of the Spirit of God. All three of these things, nothing has changed. Learning, growing, and changing. Learning and growing and changing. Learning and growing and changing. Get that third finger out there slowly. Learning and growing and changing. I'm going to ask you personally. We're not all on the same level. We're at different levels of faith and belief and struggle and all different things. But I'm asking you personally, are you learning? Are you growing and are you changing? I'm not trying to measure your learning, growing, and changing against anybody else. We're not doing that whatsoever. This is a Spirit of God thing. But we're asking you about your heart this morning. Are you following? Are you pursuing? Do you know that you're learning and growing and changing? And this is what I can tell you. I'm a messed up human being and I make a lot of mistakes. But those of you that were in the Stone Chapel, some of you that were part of the early Bible study that we started in homes, that we were hanging out together, what you know about me is that I'm committed to learning and growing and changing. And so what some of you have been able to watch, you've watched me put my foot in my mouth over and over and over again. But I own it. Because this process is about learning and growing and changing. And some of you perfectionists, you need to write this down. If you want a tattoo, put that on underneath of your arm. Learning, growing, and changing. I'm just saying, so you can put your arms down, nobody has to look at it. But I'm just saying for you, you can go, oh, learning, growing, and changing. Those of you, somebody's going to say, Pastor Tim was promoting tattoos in the service this morning. No, I was not. Okay? But I'm just saying, it's about our hearts toward God. It's about us taking baby steps. Learning, growing, and changing. We got one last question for you. This is hard. It's a hard question of evaluation. We carry this question, so I don't just throw it out to you lightly. If the Holy Spirit were removed from this church family and from our lives personally, would anything change? Talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit. Would anything change? Chris, you want to talk about it?
That's what we want all of you to be able to do, to experience. This is about a relationship with God, about you pressing in and experiencing all that God has for you. It's about waiting upon the Spirit. It's pressing into Him. It's not being content with how life has always been, but understanding there's more of God to experience. There's more for you to be able to taste. There's more of His presence and power to be in your life. And it's not about you being crazy, amazing at anything, but it's about you being open and available for the Spirit of God to just come through you. That's what we're learning to be. That's what Spirit smacked me this week, how many times, about just being an open vessel to be able to be used for honorable use. My job is just be open and available for the Spirit to just come through me. That's for all of us. And so if you have something stirring inside of you today, if you have something, maybe for you, you're like, man, I don't even know what's going on with my belief, and you just want to talk with somebody, you want somebody to pray with you. If you have some sin struggle that, man, you've just been holding on to and you need to let it go so you can receive God in every area of your life, then we have people that would love to pray with you. We're going to be right back there in the middle hallway back there after we're done praying. We'd love to pray with you. Don't allow something to keep you back from experiencing God on your behalf. So I'm going to pray, and then we are going to respond to this great God that we love. We're going to sing out and respond, and if we could pray with you, don't allow your sin or the enemy to hold you back. So, Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to die for us and to be able to show us that this life now doesn't have to be the way that we've always experienced it, but you came to show us what life in abundance looks like. And that means not that we have more things, but it means that we have more of you. That we're not walking this life on our own anymore, but that we have the very power and presence of God in us. So help us to be a people that are committed to that. So I pray for whatever it is that you're stirring in each one of us to do. I pray that you would give us the faith to obey so that we could be open and available to be your witnesses here and to the ends of the earth. So have your way now. In your name we pray. Amen.